how do we incorporate, and this is what brands should pay attention to as well as, you know, sonic branding into our platform as well. So really utilizing different voices and things to that nature to really help sell the product and then also help the end user find a connection with, you know, the voice assistant that they're using.
We're on a mission to explore how emerging technologies, media, robotics, and data and behavioral science will solve humanity's most pressing challenges. From education, mobility, energy, food and water supplies, the environment, employment, all the way to disease and basic human rights. Nothing is off limits. This episode is brought to you by Beverage Universe. They have every flavor to help you stay young, beautiful, and thirsty. Go to beverageuniverse.com for your next flavor experience. I am so excited to introduce our guest today. He is the CEO and founder of Jetson AI. He has over 10 years experience leading companies in both software and hardware. He has a passion for crafting new user experiences surrounding emerging technologies. And he was also formerly the head of marketing and design at UniKey Technologies, where he was the first in the world to unlock a smart lock with Google Glass in early 2014 using a visual and voice interfaces. Guys, please help me welcome Peter Pang.
Hey, Terry. Nice to be on your show.
Absolutely. We're super excited to have you on the Amplified podcast. I know, you know, it's kind of a different time right now with COVID and all of the different aspects of, you know, recording shows. So it's been, you know, interesting to say the least this year, 2020. I can't even believe it's already almost September. But we're super excited to discuss voice commerce with you today.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm super excited to share my knowledge and my industry experience and pretty much just share everything I know about voice and where I think voice is headed.
Yeah, so tell us, how did you become interested in this field? I mean, it's a very different emerging technology that's gaining quite a bit of traction. How did it all start out for you?
Yeah, so I've always been a technologist. You know, right out of college, I opened my own software development company where we built software for startups. And I was always just interested in, you know, the technology and software space. And, you know, as emerging technology started to happen, I think the first emerging technology was IoT, like Internet of Things. So, you know, I worked for UniKey Technologies, where we shipped the first mass market smart lock in partnership with Kwikset, which is the largest North American lock manufacturer. And, you know, kind of how I got that job was I went to the CEO's office with the Google Glass because I was part of the Google Glass Explorer program, you know, in 2014. And I said, you know, this is the future of how people are going to unlock doors, you know, with voice and visual technology. So that's really how I got started with voice. So he hired me right away. And a week later, he had me lead the entire development team during a hackathon in order to see if we can, you know, use voice to unlock the actual door. So I could be, you know, walking up to my door and say, you know, Kivo, unlock my door. I could just be sitting on the couch and use Alexa and say, hey, unlock my door, right? So that's really how we got started using voice and, you know, and that's how I got started really trying to understand what the capabilities of voice are beyond just, you know, controlling your smart home, right? So kind of like the reason why I got started with Jetson was really just to solve a personal problem that I had with Alexa when it first came out. You know, when I first got the Amazon Echo, I was really excited to buy something from it. And, you know, just like millions of other Americans, I thought I could probably buy anything off of Amazon with the Alexa. But, you know, that was simply untrue. If you've ever tried to buy anything, typical experience is a one-shot experience. I ask one thing and it gives me a one-shot recommendation. I remember one time I was trying to order toothpaste and go, "Alexa, order me toothpaste." And all she did was give me that one-shot recommendation. She didn't ask me if I wanted like whitening or cavity protection, how many tubes, what size, all of those things that are indicative of an e-commerce type of experience. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just use this thing to check the weather and listen to music, right? But the problem still plagued me. So what I ended up doing early on as a prototype is I took IBM Watson's technology, and then I ended up being able to hijack the Alexa. And then I had an hour-long conversation with it. And I was like, wow, this actually really feels like real AI. So what I ended up doing was I created a pizza ordering demo with IBM Watson technology and the Alexa. And then I took that same platform and I did the same thing with a mobile ordering app for McDonald's as a prototype. So I then took that prototype. I was living in Florida at the time. I built this thing in my bedroom. I went up to New York City, was able to successfully raise my first $1 million to really bring the product to life. So we ended up moving away from IBM Watson technology and then building our own platform called Jetson, which really lets us have that multi-step conversation to pretty much transact any advanced product or advanced product catalog. So really bringing the true utility to the voice assistants of today.
Tell us a little bit more about Jetson. Explain to us what exactly does Jetson do and how does it work?
Yeah, so, at first I built out the technology for the ability to add that extra layer of intelligence to the ordering experience, right? So I built out that first core technology with the team. But then we realized we're actually a business, not just a technology. So we had to really make essentially the Shopify of voice commerce, right? A really easy way for businesses of any size, whether you're a small mom and pop or an enterprise business, to easily come on Jetson's platform and create a voice first marketplace in a matter of minutes. And a lot of voice commerce companies today, they have the agency model, right? So they have the core technology, but they'll charge $500,000 to $1 million just to build this technology out for one company. But what we've done was focus on scaling that. So we've created a really easy way to go online, sign up with Jetson, and then really just add products to our back end. And we also allow the ability to train those products on our back end as well. And the end user doesn't have to figure out how to, create spaghetti dialogues, right? And try to create their own voice store. Everything with Jetson is pre-turnkey. And what's really cool is we have an integration to the marketplace where if like you have a Shopify store, you can have a one-click integration where it can enable your Shopify store in a matter of minutes and voice enable that and then come onto Jetson's platform. And then also, we've recently struck a partnership with delivery.com. So we have now over 10,000 restaurants and 1.1 million products on our marketplace for users to be able to order food from pretty much any state in America, right? So that really works well with the COVID application because e-commerce and food delivery has been soaring because of the need to kind of stay quarantined and stay away from some of the brick and mortar out there. So essentially the way we want to look at it is it's essentially the Shopify of voice commerce. So it's a tool that allows, any size business to easily come online and join the voice revolution.
So essentially, let's say I was a jewelry brand and I had a Shopify store and I wanted my products to be easily searchable and easily findable through, it could be Google Voice or it could be Alexa. I'm sure there's others out there. So I wanted my products to be easily searchable and findable and I guess, orderable. I don't know if that's even a word, but in a through voice devices, basically, is what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, definitely. And it's not just voice, it's an omni-channel platform. So it's voice, it's SMS text, it's Facebook Messenger. So it's really that same conversational cloud that can disseminate in multiple channels and act as a new sales channel for your brand. So, you know, if you kind of look at the early days of like Amazon, you know, they were just selling books, but they're one of the first to sell books on the internet, which was a brand new channel, right? And they were able to build their brand that way because they dominated that channel. We look at voice as the same way. It's a new channel where it's more convenient. It provides an ideal user experience, because if you kind of think about technology and as it gets more complex, it's harder to use these touchscreen interfaces or the keyboard and the mouse. So it's just easier just to talk to that device, and all of those complex computations can happen, and you can start to interface with new forms of technology, you know, very easy just through natural language. So that's the ideal user experience. If you think about 2020, you know, we think about the future, right? And I think about the Jetsons, right? That cartoon. So, and that's kind of why I named Jetson, you know, after that cartoon, but because it really talks about the fully autonomous future. So it's really that ideal user experience that people want. And it wasn't until recently, you know, I would say in the past few years that speech recognition technology started reaching about 95 to 98% accuracy levels. So that's where we're starting to see that the proliferation of, you know, the voice assistant is going to start to overtake, you know, like that of the mobile device and even the personal computer. And if we look at, you know, smart speaker adoption today, I believe there's over 150 million smart speakers in American homes, which if we look at the rate of adoption, it's even outpaced the adoption of even mobile technology at a multiple. So we're starting to see that, you know, voice is starting to be integrated in almost every facet of your daily life. And what we aim to be is that intelligent commerce platform that allows for easy onboarding and selling of products and services on that platform. But
absolutely. So tell me, how did COVID-19 impact you guys this year?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, when we started Jetson, you know, in 2017, you know, when I was trying to get investment from, you know, traditional venture capitalists, they were saying, voice is too early. And even enterprises, you know, they were interested in voice, but they just kept saying it was too early. And, you know, I got discouraged a lot, you know, as I was out there raising money for Jetson. But luckily, someone took a bet on me, and then I was able to develop this technology over the years. But it wasn't until COVID-19 where we started to see that, you know, voice is now. Right? Yeah. It's no longer too early, because, you know, with COVID, the spread of COVID is, I mean, it's a really contagious thing. And you know, it's, if you're always touching, you know, just imagine the touch screens at McDonald's, right? When you want to order something, how dirty that is, or, you know, the menus, or, you know, even your own mobile device sometimes, you can pick up bacteria or be exposed to COVID with these touch devices. And but voice is just, it's a touchless interface, right? And if we can add that true utility of being able to buy things on voice and order things on voice, then it limits the surface of exposure to COVID and really limiting the spread of the virus over time.
So essentially, you were right on time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely right on time. And, you know, it's not something that, you know, it's not a good thing that COVID happened, but it really did, you know, help necessitate the need for voice technology. And maybe, you know, sometimes things like this happen to further accelerate digital transformation and really just start to bring us, you know, into the future a little bit more. So But yeah, our goal is to continue to, you know, really just provide the end user experience for the customer. And at the same time, if we can have a COVID application to the technology that we're building, that even gives us a greater purpose of what we are building as well.
Absolutely. I hear that a lot now, where some of these technologies that were having a difficult time getting traction pre-COVID, they are absolutely right now essential and necessary for us to be able to overcome this phase of, I guess, humanity, from, you know, e-learning to touchless technologies to being able to order all your groceries and things like that online, that they're getting adopted much quicker than even anybody expected, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And from a business standpoint, we've seen it been impactful to our business as well. You know, before, you know, the enterprises, you know, it was too early for the enterprise. But now we're starting to sign up more enterprise partnerships. We just signed one with Postmates, which is good. And then we also just signed one with this company called Chowly, which has over 8,000 restaurants that allows us to actually, if I don't know if you've been to a restaurant lately, but, you know, they won't hand out the menus. So we've just built something into Jetson's mobile application where you can scan that QR code, and then you can just talk to Jetson on the mobile device, and it can take your order without even having a waiter there. And it can kind of push that to the point of sale system and really have an experience where, you're just limiting more of that exposure to COVID as well. And then really allowing for better service from the waiter, without having to take your order as well. So
very interesting.
Yeah, automation is definitely coming, and AI is definitely certainly going to be disruptive. And we certainly believe that the interface for humans to interact with AI technology will be voice as they start to converge.
What can brands do now to prepare to kind of enter that phase? Because I'm sure there's a lot of businesses and companies that are not necessarily have not taken advantage of voice technology. What can they do now to prepare?
Yeah, it's really all about developing a voice strategy, and really choosing the right tool to see what works and what doesn't work. So the reason why we made Jetson so turnkey and focused on scalability is because, you know, voice is definitely a new interface. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of businesses that don't want to invest millions of dollars into seeing if this is going to work or not, right? So, I mean, with Jetson technology, it's only $49 a month. So they can easily sign up. They can add their products. They can sell some of their best sellers, right? And see how they can promote that to their existing customer base, right? To really start to drive the engagement. So, you know, it's really about, with voice, it's about understanding what are the three pain points. So, you know, discoverability is the first pain point. Engagement is the second pain point. And then how do you generate revenue is the third pain point. So with Jetson's platform, we, at first we were just developing one-off skills, Alexa skills for different brands using our technology. But now we've created an entire marketplace that allows you to search. Like, so if you want to say, I'm looking for shoes, right? It'll bring up shoes based off of your inherent past data that you used to purchase before, right? So it really helps hyper-personalize that experience. But building out our own voice search engine, where we have control over that, is really important. And with our platform, it allows you to add keywords for voice search as well. So it's almost what we call voice SEO. So really thinking about, brands need to think about, okay, how are their end customers going to find them, right? And then start thinking about what those keywords are and how they can optimize for the voice SEO types of keywords. So that's the discoverability part. The engagement part is, you know, how will you get your existing customers to start to engage with voice if they're already used to mobile or like their desktop computer, right? But you know, voice is like embedded in almost every device now, like especially your mobile device, voices is embedded there. It's the TVs, the televisions, that's really important. So it's really about driving engagement. So with Jetson's platform, one part of it is, you know, being able to, you know, create your a deal of the day, right? Or so we have a deals platform that brands can utilize to drive incentive for, you know, visiting them on their voice store, right? And then, you know, the third one is really, revenue. So, and that's why we created Jetson the platform, is it's really to create a really easy way for brands to just start uploading products and start selling on voice, and really driving those metrics in terms of, you know, will this increase the bottom line? Should we continue to invest in voice? And what is that return on investment? So just being able to look at those three areas for voice technology will help brands develop their voice strategy. And, you know, what they really have to think about is first mover advantage, right? So the companies and the enterprises that have first mover advantage have an opportunity to reinvent their brand or, grow in a space where this acts as a new sales channel and an automated sales channel. So instead of the traditional channels that they would be used to going on, they add another channel and they can start to take in that voice first audience, which I believe like the millennial generation is definitely adopting voice at light speed. We're even seeing like babies use Google Assistant, or toddlers use Google Assistant or Siri. So we definitely know that that's going to be the next generation of voice. And then really just understanding where is voice embedded, within everyone's daily lives. What are the voice devices in everyone's daily lives? So right now, everyone has a mobile device that's voice enabled, but televisions are becoming more voice enabled now. It's also moving into cars, and obviously the smart speakers are in everyone's home. I definitely think that the smart speaker will replace the home telephone at some level. So I certainly really am a big believer of what Amazon's doing with Alexa and what Google's doing with Google Home.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up a ton. I mean, I've got like 15 questions right off of everything you just said. So out of curiosity, the voice technology right now, how will it determine, or will it be personalized to recognize between different voices? Let's say that there's multiple people within using the same device and they have their own different personalized preferences. Does it currently, can it tell who's who and what they prefer?
Yes. So right now the technology is a little bit limited from that side, but from Alexa and Google, they do have something called Voice Match, and they are working on voice authentication as well. So, really based off of biometrics. So that's really going to allow for the multi-user access to, to be able to purchase whatever they want. You know, with us right now, you can create your own Jetson account and then log in with Jetson. So everyone will have their own account. Once we can tap into their multi-user authentication, that really just opens it up for anyone to be able to walk in and use any device, and it becomes hyper-personalized to them. We're also seeing that the use of mobile technology, so they call this multimodal authentication. So if you have your smartphone on you and it can read your Bluetooth and you're closest to that device and it can pair, then it can know if that's you also making that order as well. So it doesn't need to be just voice biometrics. It could be a combination of different types of biometrics that provide that that layer of authentication for the end user. So yeah, definitely I see that being more prevalent as voice technology starts to gain more traction with the mass market. And I definitely see, you know, maybe one day we all get into an Uber and, you know, we want to order something and, you know, the car will know, you know, who's ordering what based off their voice and their location, you know, based off, you know, their Bluetooth signal on their phone. So it's definitely going to get there, but it's not there right now. But I do know that there are companies working on that type of authentication. And even Jetson has a few patents in the voice authentication space as well.
This episode is brought to you by Ready Mask. A lot of us are looking to protect the health of our employees and our office guests, as well as ourselves. Ready Mask's new unique and innovative line of comfortable and strapless N95 masks are available on their website. That's readimask.com. Check them out and social distance in style. If you like our discussions and would like to support our efforts, be sure to subscribe on Patreon, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or YouTube. If you have an idea about a topic or know someone who would be a great guest, reach out on our website, amplifiedpodcast.com.
Yeah, that's one of my big issues with Alexa right now, because she'll listen to the 8-year-old in the household and order whatever he says. Yeah. So, yeah, we've had some instances where things show up at the house and it's like, who ordered this?
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely there's like fail safes too, especially if it's something that's over like $100. There's a PIN that's required and so forth. So that's how those types of issues are being mitigated today. But, you know, eventually it'll be based off of, you know, what you have on you, like, which is your phone and your voice biometrics. So it'll know not to take the order from the 8-year-old, right, as well.
Yes, exactly. So what type of interesting data do you think will be gathered from a mass adoption of voice?
Yeah, so actually with the AI industry, data is a really big problem. So that's actually one of the main reasons why Jetson focused on voice commerce and really making an easy turnkey way for a ton of businesses to get online and really start to gather some of that anonymized voice data so that we can train the AI, make it more intelligent over time. And that's what we call the voice metadata, right? And one of Jetson's patents that we filed was for that voice metadata layer, where we would be able to capture that data and have it classified using a self-writing data classification engine and a self-writing decision classification engine, and taking that data and then being able to give you the most hyper-personalized response, you know, that you could, so that you feel a greater connection to the voice assistant that you're talking to. So almost think of, like, you know, your voice assistant as your personal assistant. You know, at first you hire a personal assistant and then you have to train them, and then over time they just know everything about you. That's how Jetson will, you know, tailor that experience for hyper-personalization to the end customer.
That brings up a whole other set of thoughts that I immediately think about, because of the, I guess in a way it's moving towards creating some type of a consciousness, right, through the use of AI, because it's no longer this awkward or clunky type of user interface. You're actually almost simulating a conscious being, in a sense, that knows everything about you.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, where we are with AI technology, it's, you know, there are still, it's very much so still rules-based, uses a lot of machine learning. But you know, it's eventually once we start to gather that data, we can start to give rise to what we call artificial general intelligence, which is AI with human level thinking. As we start to aggregate, you know, the consciousness of everyone globally, as we start to proliferate the platform. What we also believe in is, you know, AI having some sort of regulations as well. So in terms of privacy and making sure that there are some sort of regulations in the AI industry, so that, you know, data is used only to help you and not hurt you, you know. So that's, you know, that's what Jetson is about. It's definitely a, you know, long ways away from there. But I would say it's like several years out, but I definitely feel like, if you've ever looked at the Jetson logo, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's it kind of looks like a brain, and half of it is pink and half of it is white. And that really I designed that logo, and that really symbolizes the balance that we need to strike between man and machine in order to have a really good relationship with AI, and how can AI and automation add to our quality of life, and really it's strengthening that relationship and having that perfect balance between man and machine, so that one doesn't overtake the other as we move forward.
I think that's a very interesting conversation. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It's there's a really good book called The Life 3.0 that talks about you know, the rise of artificial intelligence and artificial superintelligence, and you know, eventually it starts to become smarter than people, right? So, but how do we, you know, manage that as well? But right now, I'm focused on is really two sectors. It's, you know, food and, you know, retail and e-commerce, right? You know, the way I look at it is, you know, everyone needs to eat, right? So if we can use AI to feed people, like, I feel good about my job today.
Absolutely. So tell me a bit about how did you get past those startup pains of growth, because we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on this podcast, and everybody has a very unique but kind of a similar path, where in the very beginning when you're just starting out, it's difficult to find partners and strategic investors and people that can actually push the idea forward. How did that work for you? What was your journey like?
Yeah, it was, you know, something that I didn't realize, you know, the journey was going to be so difficult, right? But, you know, when I moved up to New York City, I got kind of lucky, and I was at a networking event at a co-working space. I was renting a desk at a co-working space, and there was a networking event, and I met an investor, and they're just an investor in real estate. But I showed them the demo, and they really were impressed by it, so they gave me my first million, right? And, you know, and then from there, you know, we built out this platform, but it just kept being too early, right? And then we kept seeing that, like, the accuracy of ordering and things like that was really tough as well. So we had to, like, move over a lot of those hurdles as well. And then we also saw that, like, the payment space in voice was very fragmented as well, as we started to integrate, like, the different enterprise technologies into our platform. So we ended up having to create Jetson Pay, which I never thought we'd have to be a fintech company, but it's really essentially, you know, one account, and you can use Jetson Pay to you know, pay over any conversational channel. It's almost like the PayPal, you know, conversational commerce. So we had to build out a lot of different technologies, and, you know, and it was also, you know, it's, revenue is definitely something that, you know, in the earlier days was tough. Like, how did we commercialize this, and how do we make money with this, right? So that was something that, you know, a lot of VCs couldn't get past, right? So luckily, you know, I did have that first initial investor, and then I was able to raise a lot additional more capital. I raised $2.5 million over the past couple of years for Jetson without any, you know, in the beginning, any substantial revenues, right? So it's really about, you know, the opportunity where the, you know, it's voice commerce. You know, Juniper Research is predicting it to be an $80 billion industry by 2023, right? So it's really about proving out that technology, being able to get orders on the platform, and then networking, meeting a bunch of angel investors that would then put in money. And then also what we did was regulation crowdfunding. In October, we raised $1.1 million. And that was almost out of a fluke, because one of my friends that worked at this crowdfunding platform called Micro Ventures said, "Hey, I think your platform would do well. You want to just try it? You know, we're just going to try to raise like $100,000. So I tried it. And the initial launch of it, the trajectory of which the campaign was going was so fast, we had to move it up to $1.1 million. And then we raised that in really a record-breaking time, and we oversubscribed it to almost $2 million. And so there's still investors today that haven't been able to get in on that latest round. Actually this week, we'll be launching what they call Regulation A+, which is a larger form of crowdfunding, which allows us to raise up to $50 million over any 12-month period. So now we're raising another $5 million round through the Regulation A+, and we can, our customers on our platform, the past investors and the investors that didn't get in can now get in on Jetson's technology as well.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a lot of work because it's like heavily regulated by the SEC and everything like that. But it's definitely something that we look forward to leveraging so that we can continue building out this emerging technology and just have a scalable way that we can fundraise without, you know, having to go through the traditional VC route, especially with COVID where you can't get out there and network all the time, but you can still, you know, build relationships with customers and end users online, and if they really like your platform, they'll invest into it.
Yeah, I think crowdfunding is going to potentially also, I think, be very helpful during this whole COVID era, because people can find out about new companies and they can invest in new companies, and you don't necessarily have to be out there in person. But tell me, how did you guys get your first 1,000 customers, or your first, like, you know, 100 customers at the very beginning?
Yeah, so the first 100 customers, we actually, you know, initially we built a platform and we were building, you know, we were using our technology to build off one-off Alexa skills, right? And so that's really how we got our first 100 customers. And I know the CEO of Delivery.com, so he gave us access to his API in order to use that so that we could start to onboard, you know, these first 100 customers, right? And, you know, one thing that we didn't find was, we're like, the customers are like, well, how do we get found on Alexa? And I'm like, I don't have any control over that, right? So eventually what we did is we built out our own marketplace where we now have control over discoverability and everything like that. So it grew from the first 100 customers. So now we have over 10,000 merchants on our database. We continually sign up more and more customers as well through a lot of the content marketing that we do. Is really a lot of it is, you know, the thought leadership that we put out around voice commerce, because we are one of the first, you know, we have early mover advantage. I wouldn't say we're the first. Obviously, Amazon is the first for voice commerce, but, you know, we are definitely an early mover in what we do. And we've, you know, seen the ups and downs of everything. So it's really about, you know, how do we provide that value proposition, sell the opportunity of voice, and position ourselves properly, you know, through our content. So we put out a lot of blog posts. I've been doing a lot of podcasts lately. So it's really about being able to, you know, just really establish yourself as a thought leader and really, you know, help define where the space is going and creating that market, essentially.
What do you envision as some of your upcoming challenges as far as voice is concerned?
Yeah, so a lot of the challenges in place today, I would say, is really getting people to, it's really about changing human behavior. That's like one of the hardest things, right? And you really have to make that user experience more compelling and easier and more convenient than the traditional method of how people are doing it today, right? So if it's faster to do it on mobile, people would just stay on mobile, right? So what we have to do is, how do we figure out all the different nuances and really make it a much faster, better experience? And that requires us to continually look at our data and optimize our conversation, but then also making it scalable as well, right? Because, you know, there are a lot of restaurants and brands out there that have custom brand and keywords, right? That don't get picked up by, you know, Alexa or Google Assistant, right? Or the NLP. So that's why Jetson's platform allows you to train it on the back end, so you can have custom branded items that can be sold. So a lot of it comes down to what is the best user experience for the person that's using the product, right? So, you know, really based off of like your demographic, maybe you would like it to be, you would like Jetson to sound different or talk to you a different way. You know, so those are the things that, you know, we are starting to look at as well. And then how do we incorporate, and this is what brands should pay attention to as well, as, you know, sonic branding into our platform as well. So really utilizing different voices and things to that nature to really help sell the product, and then also help the end user find a connection with the voice assistant that they're using. So it requires a lot of essentially stitching together of different technologies and also creating our own. So eventually what we want is like our technology to have like emotional intelligence and things like that. So there are several different libraries that we could tap into and other technologies that we can partner with to help create that ideal user experience.
Sonic branding. You just said that. Sonic branding?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's something that, in the voice industry is a new topic, but they probably started talking about that over the past year. And what's great about Jetson's platform is we're now looking at a way that you could just upload your own like voice files as well to our platform to have that type of customized experience from that standpoint.
That just blew my mind. So it literally, like right now, I have another million thoughts running through my head. But if you can kind of jump out of the box and just imagine anything, I suppose you can build your own personality of your actual store and, you know, how it engages and converses with people and the type of personality that it has. And I guess the tones and the phrases of how it responds, and whether it's funny or quirky or sarcastic or serious or, you know, very cool.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of, things that are happening in the voice industry that people aren't seeing yet, but definitely we look at that as a new wave of, I kind of look at it as like interactive radio. In a way where, you know, you can, you could talk to, you know, the voice, you know, of your choice, or you want to engage with a brand that makes you feel a certain way. Right. Cause that's essentially what brands are, right? Everyone sells the same thing, but how does that brand make you feel? And that's why you decide to buy. Right. So if you can utilize sonic branding, if a brand can utilize sonic branding in their, go-to-market strategy, especially, or their voice strategy, it can help increase conversion and so forth when it comes to voice commerce.
So it's essentially the voice assistants almost become virtual salespeople that can guide the customer, not just through an interface, but also through the experience of choosing the right product that fits their needs and will help them based on the data and information that it has, I'm assuming at some point it'll be able to calculate different reviews and kind of give the customer a synopsis or summary of what the general reviews are, what the percentages of positive versus negative are, you know, what some of the most raved about features are, rather than the customer having to sit through and read them on their own. It can kind of be summarized for them. Yeah. It could even provide, you know, sizing recommendations and things like that. And wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the opportunities and the are endless. And what's really, just from someone that works in the industry, is we're not very far away from that at all. So that's what really excites me about Jetson and what we're doing here, and how it can really just be, you know, a voice technology that's just integrated into your daily life. And, you know, I could just be walking past my refrigerator and I can order groceries, you know, from my connected fridge because it's voice enabled. Or if, you know, if there's a light fixture that's voice enabled, I can order new light bulbs, or my smoke detector is voice enabled, I can order new batteries for it when it's, you know, run out of batteries, right? So there's, I believe in the future, you know, almost every connected device or IoT device is going to have a speaker and a microphone associated with that. Because if you really look at it, you know, a lot of these IoT devices are connected, but like how, there's like no touchscreen or there's no keyboard and mouse, you know, for these devices, like how will you interact with them, right? So I truly believe that voice will allow for really that frictionless future that we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it could also tell you that it already ordered the milk for you, you
know? Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if my wife already ordered the eggs and the milk, then I don't have to order it again, right? So, yeah, that's really the intelligence behind what Jetson can do. And then and another area where brands should start to look at is, I really think the smart TV is another interface that we're going to be able to crowd around, especially as you're like watching Netflix and you're like, oh, I really like that couch, you know, I want to buy that couch. So if there's metadata connected to that couch to, and is voice enabled with the storefront, it can order for you right then and there from, you know, so it's, you know, there's a lot that brands can do to take advantage of voice and without having people, you know. I think today's society, we are a society just with our heads down looking at our mobile device, and it's a little discerning to me, right? So what, you know, what I like about this voice technology is that, you know, everyone, it's we're humanizing technology a little bit more. Our heads are up. We can live life a little bit better and still have that same utility that we want without having to always have our heads down looking at something, you know, and really start to engage with the world around us, because it's a beautiful world that we live in, you know. And then if AI is just integrated into it, we could definitely have a brighter future, I believe, when it comes to technology.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think that there's just so much going on that could be automated in some way. I was actually talking to the founder of Wirewax in October, and they're a company that's doing exactly what you just mentioned. They're embedding metadata into visual commercials or shows, TV shows, where you could pull up the information about the shirt that somebody's wearing and find, you know, where you can order it. And then I think when you layer voice on top of that, it becomes even more seamless. So it's a very cool idea. So tell me what's happening with you personally. You mentioned some recent changes.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I was living in New York, you know, and built a company there. But when COVID happened, everyone was working from home. And, you know, I was, you know, I was already dating my wife, my wife now. So I got married recently.
Congratulations.
But, so she used to come to New York. And then I was like, well, it's kind of depressing here because it's cold and there's COVID and it's going crazy. So, you know, what I ended up doing is moving over to Los Angeles, opening up a second office here, and really just enjoying the sunshine, right? And building a company at the same time. So I think, you know, that's something that is really, really awesome. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, I'm always, you know, work-life balance is always a tough one for me, right? So being married really helps ground me and helps me stay in balance and really understand that, you know, this is the kind of the next chapter of Jetson, and, you know, there's an opportunity to be able to do everything that I want. So, yeah, definitely, I'm super happy here out in Southern California. And, you know, I do see that a lot of people here in LA, they love using voice. So just because it's cool, you know? So I definitely think this is a next really good geographic market to start to penetrate as well, using our technology.
I think you're brilliant, and really grateful, Peter, that we were able to record this episode. I think it's a fascinating subject and something to watch out for in the next year. I think even less than that, potentially. I think 2021, hopefully we'll all survive 2020 and the craziness yeah. that's going on. But I think 2021 is definitely the year of voice. It's a hot market, and a lot of changes are coming. So I really appreciate you coming on, and I think you're absolutely brilliant. I mean, the things that you said are just mind-blowing.
Yeah, I've had a lot of time to think about it and really think about why I'm doing this, right? Especially, you know, during the hard times. So getting through that, you have to really understand why you're doing it. So I'm really just kind of talking from the heart, you know, with Jetson. So it was really a natural conversation. So I appreciate you having me on the podcast, and you know, I really hope this adds value to your listeners.
Absolutely. How can people find you?
Yeah, so you can go to www.jetson.ai.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks.
The production of the Amplified podcast has been brought to you by Social Fix Media. Social Fix is a transformational growth hacker agency focused on emerging technology platforms, video and podcast production, content marketing, and overall startup strategy. Social Fix has helped over 300 clients generate millions of dollars in revenue, fundraising, and profit. If you'd like help launching or growing your business, visit socialfix.com. If you like our discussions and would like to support our efforts, be sure to subscribe on Patreon, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or YouTube. If you have an idea about a topic or know someone who would be a great guest, reach out on our website, amplifiedpodcast.com. If you enjoy this topic, make sure to tune in next week. You don't want to miss it.